Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here it is, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
And what is up?
Just a gorgeous Monday.
Another great day of weather.
Absolutely.
You know what I feel like?
What do you got?
I feel like the first segment of our show has kind of turned into who did Suk piss off this weekend?
Oh.
Today. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're on a run of opening segment your confrontation stories.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm here to tell you.
So I want to just ask, who did you piss off this weekend that we can talk about?
I don't think anybody. No ghosts.
Well, that's big. That's a big weekend.
Yeah, no dead parents haunting me, anything like that. No animal kerfuffle. Although, my dog caught a rabbit last night, and it led to major conflict at the household. You know, because everyone...
So you pissed off your kids.
Well, everyone was mad at the dog for catching the rabbit when... I was like, what do you want from the dog? Like, there's a rabbit in the yard. He's going to chase it. Just no one thought my
That's a fast dog.
Yeah, well, it's a fat bulldog. Something clearly, like...
It was maimed?
Something had gone, right? Like, there's no way. My dogs, I have an American bulldog who's old as dirt and doesn't get around very well. She was actually fairly athletic back in the day, but she's old and, you know, she's like 10. She doesn't get around very well. And then I've got an English bulldog. He can't catch anything. He looks like a meatloaf. So I've never given any sort of thought. They chase squirrels, they chase birds, they chase rabbits, and they don't catch anything. And then last night we were sitting out back and, you know, the dogs take off to the corner of the yard and, you know, you're like, oh, well, chasing something. And then we heard the squeaks and the squeals and we're like, oh, hell, it caught something.
Bugs.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny.
It caught bugs or something. And then everyone started losing it and then they were yelling at the dogs. And I was like, hey, you can't. Like, no one yells at them when they chase anything. Just no one ever thought they'd catch anything. So then I had to defend the dogs. And so I didn't piss anyone off. But that was the only kerfuffle going on inside my household. Everything else on the up and up.
This was a great lesson for your kids to understand that dogs, while cute and great.
Sure.
And wonderful as our pets. And
yes.
They are still dogs.
Yeah. So I don't like.
Primal.
Well, this was kind of I had to lay this.
And you can't really take that out of them.
No, I had to lay this down for them. Like,
it's impossible.
If they caught like a rat or something, and I had this back when
they'd
I lived.
They'd be cheering.
Yeah, like no one would care. And yeah. Everyone's always laughed because they do. They chase birds. If you ever seen a fat bulldog chase anything, it's kind of hilarious, right? It's just, you're chasing a squirrel, really? Secret squirrel, Morocco mole. The mole isn't winning the race there. But it's kind of funny to watch this roly-poly, like, fat meatloaf chase squirrels. And no one's ever said anything to it. And then the one time he catches something, now we all want to yell at him? He's confused as hell. It's not his fault. That should have been a glorious day for him. He should have been high-fiving everyone and you know.
Well, and if the rabbit was maimed.
Yeah.
Maybe he did it a favor.
Sure.
I know that sounds cruel, but.
And then.
This is the way. Circle of life works.
And I hope no one's listening, but I just lied and said that there was no rabbit. I said that the rabbit had got away because it was dark. and I had to go inspect.
You hope no one's listening.
Well, the
to a radio show.
His family.
The family. My family doesn't listen.
Good. Nor should they.
No.
Except when they do.
I know.
Sometimes they do.
Well, look, they knew. They just didn't want to know the truth. So I went over there with the flash.
My son is an idiot.
I went over there with the flashlight and did that. No, I'm sure
it's fine.
They had the rabbit for a moment and the rabbit got away. The rabbit did not.
No blood.
The rabbit did not get away.
So what'd you do with the rabbit? Throw it over the fence?
I did not throw it over the fence. I left
it with a sledgehammer?
I left it in the bushes, because.
Yeah, smart. Yeah, so now it's going to decay and smell.
So if the kids come inspect, they will find the dead rabbit.
No. Today it was dealt with. Last night, the foot wedge, just winter rule, so to speak. Just shove that one into the bushes. And then today, trash can. Garbage bag, trash can. We're good.
You're like a...
You put it in your neighbor's trash can?
No, I did not.
You're like a parent, trying to pretend that it's like Santa Claus.
Or the goldfish, right? That dies when they're on vacation. And then you just lie and then you buy a new goldfish.
Can you
goldfish.
Flush a rabbit down the toilet?
I don't think you can.
Was it a big rabbit or was it a baby rabbit?
Oh, I don't know. Just normal. They're all the same... They're not big ones that are back there, but they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I live next to the old folks' golf course, and I think that's where they come from. But the rabbits are in spades. I mean, they're freaking everywhere.
Well, you've pissed off rabbit bro.
Have I?
Yeah.
Damn it. But, and no, I did not poke it with a stick first. It was clearly...
clearly dead.
Yeah. But I did nudge it with the foot. I did give it one of...
So isn't it interesting how dogs have the instinct to kill the rabbit but not eat the rabbit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I was on top of it. Like once the,
pulled him.
Yeah.
You pulled him
out.
There
was a lot of, hey. Get back here. Right. And then they, they trotted back and then everyone started yelling at him. And
is it possible that rabbits and squirrels have it easy compared to rats?
100%.
And mice? Because everybody thinks most people think that rabbits and squirrels are cute and they generally leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Why would anybody mess with a rabbit? I would never mess with a rabbit. Now, dog, it's
a
different story.
Sure.
But with rats, we all cheer and go crazy when we catch one. We set traps. We want to catch these. And, of course, they can be inside nuisances, which the other two don't. Yeah. But I just mean, in general, no one cares for the life of a rat.
Nope.
No one.
No, but rabbits
but
are adorable.
Rabbits and squirrels, because they're cute and kind of fast and fun.
Yeah.
We don't mess with them, and I think that helps them out in the wild.
Absolutely.
Only got to worry about snakes and dogs. And
the rabbits are everywhere. I see them almost every day in my yard.
Disease.
And I've never once had any other thought than, oh, that's an adorable rabbit.
Rabbits are great.
They are. I have had that thought, though. I'm like, boy.
But they'll eat your garden.
I'm like, you're really living dangerous, back here with the dogs. But my always thing was, why would the rabbits be afraid of one old and one fat dog? And then I don't know what this rabbit's deal was. In fact, it's kind of, if you get caught by an old bulldog and a fat bulldog, isn't that kind of your fault? Isn't that nature's selection?
I think it was maimed.
Sure.
There's no way that thing couldn't get away from your dog.
No.
It was probably hurt.
Yeah. The squirrels love to taunt the dog because the squirrel will be on the ground doing squirrel stuff. And then they come out and I swear the squirrel taunts. Because it doesn't really run that fast. It's just more of a casual lope. And then it climbs a tree and then sits there and stares at the dogs and taunts them. Because, I'm sure he just looks at it. He's like, yeah, nice try, fat ass.
You know, the old adage that, you ever heard the term, do it like rabbits?
Sure.
Is that a thing? Do they do it a lot?
I think so.
I mean, I know they have lots of babies.
Yeah, they
but so do rats.
Out.
So why is it rabbits that...
Because we like rabbits and no one wants to think about rats mating.
That's what it is?
Sure.
Rabbit sex is more palatable than rat sex?
Yeah. Well, again, I have a big backyard and there's a lot of wildlife back there.
Interesting.
I also eradicated two hornet's nests over the weekend. And that, we had this discussion. I take great pleasure in that. They go in my shed, right? I have two sheds and they're always laying their nests up in the air vents or on the door. And then I just get the big foamy wasp spray, right? And it shoots 20 feet. And I think to myself, they're just doing again whatever they, hornets do. They're building the little cocoon or whatever. And then old Godzilla comes out. And not only am I a gajillion times their size, I'm also bringing white hot foam death, right? From a great distance, wiping out entire communities. And there's part of me that's like, man, poor thing. But then I'm like, screw you. I don't want to deal with you. But with rabbits and squirrels, I've never once thought to myself, I need to get rid of the rabbits and squirrels, ever. I embrace them with open arms and whatever they do in the yard.
Right.
And if hornets didn't want to be murdered, they should be cuter. And not and not do a little stinging thing.
And not sting, yeah.
Yeah, no one's no squirrel or rabbit is attacking me.
I think that's right. I think what you said is right.
Yeah.
You know, I was attacked by wasps at Langdon Farms the other day.
That's no good.
And I got stung 3 times.
Yeah.
And boy, my week, it looked like I had elephantitis in my leg.
Yeah.
Got me on my calf.
Those things are freaky, man.
Dude, unbelievable. Now, when I'm out there and I just see so much as a bee.
Yeah.
And these were wasps because they were the ones that, like, I kind of hit my ball a little wayward.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in an area where people aren't normally. And these are the ones that are in the ground. And have you read about those? I guess they're badasses.
And they just come up.
They
from
come
the
straight up and they go after you and they do not relent. Matter of fact, I got stung 3 times. And that thing was still coming at me on the next, like.
Yeah, because bees sting once and they're dead, but like wasps and hornets can go multiple.
He was going.
Yeah.
He was going for me.
Yeah.
He was going for my eyes.
Yeah. Well, just know that his relatives died a horrific death this weekend.
And that's what I'm saying. Like every time now I see a bee or I'm so traumatized by that event because I hadn't been stung in years, probably since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Now I want them all to die a fiery death.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy that you did that because some reason that satisfies me.
And you know what? I always leave the remnants of like the nest. I always leave them there just to, you know, send a message. I'm like, hey, just so you know, you come back here, this is what happens. And yet every year they keep coming back as if they won't learn a lesson.
Yeah, we have a nice shed for them over there.
I do.
That's
those air vents, they love them up there.
They probably feel like they can deal with you.
Yeah.
They have a meeting of their board and they weigh the risk reward of that's a sweet shed.
And they're wrong.
That owner sucks, but I think we can nest in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And to be fair, they usually exist for a while because, like, you know, I'm not in the shed very often.
Right.
And so they, you know, when I go in there and then you see them buzzing around and I look up, I'm like, oh, hell, like the one I killed today or this weekend was probably the size of my fist. I mean, it's not like some monster thing because, you know, I'm in there every so often. But, you know, that clearly they've been in there for a while doing work.
Well,
and,
they also,
you know, hey. I appreciate the effort, but at the same time, I got to do what I got to do.
You do, and they know that.
Yeah.
They know that. They're hornets.
Yeah.
But they also, I'm sure, have listened to the show and know that even if they knew that you knew they were out there, it would take you a year to get around to doing
probably
something about it.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you the only reason I ended up in the shed in the first place? It was kind of a freak of nature that they all died. I had a big tree limb fall and go through the roof of my shed.
Mm.
And like it was, you know, so there was this big limb sticking right through the roof of the shed. So I had to go in there and pull that thing out and I was going to deal with the roof. And while I was up there trying to remove that, well, that's when the wasps, the hornets or whatever was up there was like, hey, we're here. And they wouldn't let me get up onto the roof to deal with the tree limb. Well, and then that's what happened. Had that tree limb not had fallen, those wasps would still be alive today.
All right.
'Cause I wasn't dealing with that.
Well, there you go. Hot rodent and nuisance animal talk out of the gate. You probably had that in bingo. That's an easy one.
That's the only confrontation I had.
It's like the center square in bingo.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's the only confrontation I had over the weekend. Everything else,
spent
a day out on the river. It was quite lovely.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Put up some lights. No, we just went up to like Moulton Falls and swam around.
Moulton Falls?
Yeah, Moulton Falls. It's up in Washington. Lewis River, like jump off the cliffs.
All right.
It's where that gal got pushed from the bridge.
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened with that?
The one ended up like, I think she ended up in juvenile hall for a while and was charged with some stuff.
Did that girl get money? The girl that got shoved?
Yeah, she sued him, so... I'm sure there was a settlement there, but I didn't see anyone jumping from the bridge. That's the dumbest thing you can do, but
people do it though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Occasionally. It's not too often. A lot of times you see kids up there and they're like daring each other. And then you're like, hey, that's not a good idea. And not only is it, you're going to like hit cement, but that water is super ass cold.
Did you know rabbits purr? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's true.
Really?
You know, like they make horrible screams when a dog has them. Ugh.
Oh, well, you didn't need to say that.
Thanks for bringing that down.
It was bad.
I was thinking of cute purring rabbits, and now I'm thinking
I was trying
of
to leave it
mangled
on a good
dead
note.
Rabbits.
Leave it to Sook.
Thanks, Sook.
It was disturbing. I was out there trying to enjoy a beverage.
We got to go. Hey, Monday, big sports show.
Yes.
Big.
There is a lot going on.
All PGA Championship talk all the time.
There's nothing going on in the world of college football. Nothing at all.
What? Who cares? Did you see that tournament?
That's one of the best shots you will ever see.
Which one?
Oh, I think we know which one.
Well, he chipped in too.
That's true.
It's a big shot, man.
Yeah.
In a tight tournament like that. But yeah, I'm just joking. We got to start with college football.
Yep.
Sounds like they're going to punt. Or are they?
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. He'll be with us at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, 45 minutes. We're going to get the lowdown.
Yeah.
And that guy knows.
Yeah. Something.
Although nobody really knows.
No one really knows. Expected within the next 48 hours or so to have an announcement.
He did give me the contingency. He goes, if S hits the fan, I'm canceling the interview.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Understand.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's chasing the story. So let's start with college football. Coming up next, 316 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, poll question today, 1080thefan.com, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business, helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. Today our poll question is, what are dads going to do more of on Saturdays if no college football or youth sports this fall?
Get ready
Daddy
for those pumpkin patches.
Doing what Daddy does. Golf, drink, spend time with family, model trains, or find a new hobby. That is your poll question at 1080thefan.com.
You know, dads everywhere are just terrified right now, especially as when it turns to fall. A lot of fall drives and pumpkin spice lattes for you.
Well, you know that, you know, a lot of guys are tied up with their kids' sports on Saturdays in fall.
Sure.
Right? So that may not happen. And if that doesn't happen, you would think that they would watch more, be able to watch more college football. But what if that doesn't happen?
Well, the NFL has said that if college football is canceled,
that's right,
that they'll play more games on Saturday.
That's smart.
So I guess you do that. I mean, I'm guessing there'll be more golf played, maybe do some fishing. I bet you there'll be a lot of yards. Like, I don't know about you, but during this whole COVID thing, I mean, you just moved into your house, so it's probably already remodeled. I have done more yard work and remodel stuff during this COVID than at any other point in my life.
Everybody's yard should be on point right now.
It should be. And like anything that you want to go do, like that's outside, it's already been done. Like every campsite, every boat, you know, you can't buy an inner tube anywhere right now in the Pacific Northwest.
Is that right?
They're not even available on Amazon. There's people on Amazon selling like the raft tubes right now for $150.
I should. I have one, by the way. Actually, I have two.
You put that thing up for sale. I mean, it's
crazy.
I think
those cost us $30.
Yeah, right. Normally,
total.
Like we were going to go float the river this weekend, and normally you just go to Walmart or Freddy's or whatever, and you buy them for $30-$35. And like we went around, and people were like, "Yeah, no, those have been gone for 2 months." So I was like, "Oh, we'll sort them on Amazon, and we'll go next week." Wrong.
I'm hearing that about kayaks too.
Yeah, everything like that just completely gone. Every boat, we were looking at the same thing. We're like, we'll rent a boat, right? Like just a party barge or something. Take it out on the Willamette. Nope, booked out through September. Mm. Like it's just, there's just nothing to do. So if football's canceled, it'll just be that. It'll be more just doing stuff around the house and you know whatever you can do outside in good weather.
Golf.
Exactly.
What about when the weather changes?
Well, that's drinking season. That's drinking season right there.
All right. Well, that's our poll question at 1080thefan.com. We'll have John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News on at 4 o'clock to discuss what is really going on, because we don't really know.
No, as far as we know, this is kind of the lay of the land as it sits right now from everything that I can gather.
Well, wait, can I start this?
Yes.
And tell you that you update us on today. All I know is over the weekend, the MAC canceled?
Yes.
MACtion? No MACtion.
No MACtion.
That's like Northern Illinois and all those bros?
Yeah.
They were like, nah, we're not going to play.
Yeah.
And so then you start, and now it's like, okay. And then you start reading about, wait a minute, there's movement towards Power 5 canceling. And then all these college football reporters were saying, oh, they're all meeting and, you know, it's fluid and this and that. And so the momentum began over the weekend.
Yes, they
with this rumor that each league is kind of on its own, but that they would all collectively cancel the college football season.
Yes, the MAC, one of the statements out of the MAC was that they talked to their medical expert who said, and I'm paraphrasing, but the quote was something along the lines of, there's no conceivable way that we can play this season, right? And that's the quote that was getting thrown out there, and that the MAC would be kind of the first domino that falls. And then today we heard that the Big Ten had made a decision to cancel or at least postpone until the spring, but cancel or postpone, 6 and 1/2 dozen of the other, their season, and that 12 of the 14 university presidents said no. And then the next thing to come out was that the Pac-12 was going to follow the Big Ten either in a statement right after the Big Ten or even a joint statement. Then we got the whoa. The Big Ten is meeting right now. They had a meeting for 6 o'clock East Coast time. So they're supposedly in a meeting right now with their university presidents trying to figure out what they're going to do. The Pac-12 is going to have a meeting no sooner than tomorrow to supposedly see what they want to do. And now we're hearing that the SEC is planning on trying to push ahead. They're going to try to have a season, even if it's on their own, and that the Big 12 and the ACC are just kind of sitting there being like, we don't know what we're going to do. And now we've got the movement of the players and different coaches now coming out and saying, let us play. You know, we're united in this. We want the opportunity to play. And there's no clarity whatsoever. But that right now appears to be where this sits.
So it's not surprising that they're talking about canceling the season.
No.
I mean, most people have been like, yeah, when's the other shoe going to drop? But then that's why these people, it's like, I think this pandemic has exposed leadership in sports, right? Like,
absolutely.
We now know quite clearly who has strong leadership and who doesn't. NBA, I'm looking right at you for the strongest. Because is there any doubt that if Roger Goodell ran the NBA, they would not be pulling off what they're pulling off, right? Like,
there does seem to be.
It matters who is in charge. And in college football, I mean, why announce schedules and plans? Why have kids practicing? What changed? I mean, shouldn't you have made a decision to this prior to all of a decision on this prior to all of that?
This is coming, and this
it
is
just shows bad leadership.
It is. Well, there is no leadership, which is why we've been talking about this.
No leadership,
and some of this is inevitable because there is no governing body, which is why we've said all along, right? You've asked me this question, you know, 10 times, what sport is in the most trouble? And I've said from the very get-go, college football and just college sports in general, because you're not dealing with professionals. You're not dealing with a players union. Nothing is collectively bargained. You've got 10 different conferences, 150 plus teams, all with different agendas. To get everyone on the same page is almost impossible. So this was inevitable that this was going to end up being a giant cluster, you know what. Now, to me, what has changed over the last 48 hours is simply the university presidents, right? If this is up to coaches, if this is up to ADs, if this is up to commissioners, I think we're pledging ahead and we're having some form of college football. But people have this misnomer somehow that football programs or athletic programs run colleges. And it couldn't be any further from the truth. Like, I was looking up today, athletic budgets versus university budgets, right? And the one that I pulled up first, just, I don't know why I went there. I looked at the University of Washington, right? And their athletic budget is somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 million bucks per year. Nice little budget, right? One of the top ones in the Pac-12, right up there with Oregon and USC. So one of the three year-to-year biggest budgets in the conference. Would you care to guess what the University of Washington's budget is?
$25
trillion. $7.8 billion is the University of Washington's
budget. So what percentage
budget.
Is that?
what would be, let's, I'll even round
I'm
up.
I'm not even going to try to do the math.
$80 million in terms of almost an $8 billion budget. So this idea somehow that universities are going to bow down to athletic budgets is the most absurd thing in the world. So you're dealing with universities here that twofold. One, they're probably looking at the united front here and the players coming together and being like, oh God, are we really going to rip this can open right now and deal with it? And no one wants to deal with the legality of it. No one wants to deal with what happens if a kid gets sick and dies. And so you're dealing with universities here that are looking at this and being like, guys, this is creating a problem that's much bigger than anything we want to deal with
right
now. By
the way, I do have the math. You know, my iPhone has a calculator on it.
Yeah.
Does yours?
Yes, it does.
Cool. 0.01%.
Exactly.
$80 million of an $8 billion budget is 0.01% of the overall budget.
So when you're, you know, this idea somehow that universities must play sports, and I get there's boosters and donors that want to be involved in athletics, and it certainly plays a role on a university campus, but we've got this completely ass backwards. Remember, Ed Ray came on once. And remember when there was this talk of why isn't Oregon State spending some of the Pac-12 money to build new facilities and all this, and Ed Ray came on and was like, we've got bigger issues to fry. He's like, I promise you on the campus, it's an important thing, but there's about 100 other things that are bigger than this. And so this idea, what changed? The university presidents changed. Remember, this is not players. This is not coaches. This is not athletic directors. This is university presidents with a much broader scope that are looking at this and saying, boy, we're trying to figure out how to just get kids on campus and try to do this. And you know what? We're not going to deal with all the athletic stuff. And this is just going to be easier to punt.
So why not see where their heads were at first before you announce a schedule and start letting kids practice? Like, it's just,
well, I think it was so willy-nilly. I think it was one of those for the ADs and the coaches and the players. You had to prepare as if you were going to press ahead. And in some cases, the SEC, you may attempt to press ahead. It sounds like the others, it sounds like two are on the verge of canceling. Two don't really know. And the SEC is going to put their head down and do their damnedest to try to play this thing one way or another.
So if the SEC only plays,
yeah,
how much money do they make off of that?
We don't know. And this is the other one, too.
Because that'd be kind of, I mean,
yeah,
well, I'd watch.
Well, like, I know we got a break. We come back because there's this other notion out there that there could be like this super conference formed. And, you know, Scott Frost came out and said that they're open to playing outside of the Big Ten. We are giving far too much. We're putting far too much stock in this idea that you can just go do whatever you want. You know, there are contracts and legalities here.
What?
And if the university president says no, you can't just decide on your own to go do whatever the hell you want. This is much bigger than just we want to play. Because I feel for it.
Wait,
I want
1%. I screwed up.
1%.
I didn't move the decimals. Damn it.
1%.
I can screw up any math problem. Yeah, it's 1% because it's 0.01%. And then you move the decimal twice.
1%.
So 80 million is 1% of $8 billion budget.
There you go.
Still small.
Still very
but,
small.
Yeah. So thank you for the text tip on that.
We all want college football. I want it. You know, and the players want it, coaches want it, ADs want it, but
I don't think it's safe. I think we'll be fine without it.
Just because you want something doesn't mean that you can magically have it.
All right. So let's get to that when we get back. We've got John Wilner on this topic coming up in 30 minutes, our stock watch in the news. We're packed today, but here's Mike with sports.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. I was asking the question, what's changed for this giant pivot from seemingly all of college football to canceling the season? We'll ask that question of John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. He'll join us at 4.
By the way,
it is currently 3:37.
This just came across, I saw 4 minutes ago, Mountain West officially gone.
Yeah, they canceled.
So, but the Sun Belt apparently is going to try to play.
Nice.
So you notice,
who's that? Arkansas State?
You notice there's a regional aspect to this, by the way, the SEC and the Sun Belt.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah.
But I was talking last week, Dr. Burks told us that, or I was reporting rather, Dr. Burks said the Sun Belt states are actually showing some pretty positive signs right now with COVID.
Well, maybe that's a
kind of like Arizona.
Maybe that's a good thing. But, you know, look, and there's an idea like the SEC or the Sun Belt, whoever can try to forge ahead and, you know, hey, more power to you, man. I mean,
everyone's
entitled to make their own choice. I'm not going to kill anyone over that.
Sun Belt.
But there's a difference between wanting to play, planning to play, and then actually playing.
Well, it's just so.
We'll see what happens.
Well, that's true. And how spoiled are we that we can't go without one season of college football, you know, like as fans? I just feel like everybody's just really trying to make this happen. Now, I get why the college football wants to, and that's, you know, simply money.
Oh, you're dealing with a financial catastrophe.
It couldn't be any more obvious that they just shouldn't play. Like, it just is so obvious. It's like, come on. Now, the other leagues are a little bit different, like we've been talking about this whole time. Every league is a little different based on the nature of the sport, whether it's pro, whether it's college football is, as you've been saying, the worst one of any of them to try to play during this for a myriad of reasons that are pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. And it's just obvious that it's
tough.
It's just not going to happen. And yet we've got all these now mental gymnastics, you know, now players are coming out with, well, we're safer playing football than we are not playing football. Like, just some of the things that are now, like, can we not just realize that it's probably not going to happen, even though everybody wants it to? We can all be men and suck it up and reconvene next year. Maybe they can play it in spring, but otherwise it just is.
Yeah.
Right. We're just trying so hard to corkscrew it in there when it's just not, it's not feasible.
And we've got the narratives now that like a bunch of media members want this to happen. We want it to be canceled so you can say I told you so, and that, you know, there's an evil handlebar mustache somewhere, you know, that's running this Dr. Claw and Inspector Gadget sort of backseat shenanigans happening. Just the reality of it is, if you were paying at all attention and to what you just said, it's spot on. We knew, and everyone should have known from the get-go, that this was going to be by far the greatest challenge. And they've moved the goalposts the entire time. First, it was,
totally,
if there's no kids on campus, then we can't play. Then it was like, well, if there's some kids on campus and we can do some remote learning, we're going to be okay. And
wait,
can't play non-conference, but we'll play in conference.
Timesies.
Yeah.
They went from, we will not play
yes.
if kids are not on campus,
yes.
to, it's safer to play when kids are not on campus.
Yes.
So they did a total 180 on this. And of course, you know, I guess somebody was texting in that Joel Klatt said that he's a big college football guy.
Sure.
Writer or whatever, a former player, analyst. And he said that nobody's ever asked the presidents. The presidents finally stopped him and said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they had all this time to prepare this. It's just a mess. College football is such a mess. I mean, if there's ever an indication that college football needs to be restructured into something where everybody, all these leagues are tugging in the same direction, mm-hmm. and it would benefit everybody and have some quality leadership and oversight, it is now.
Well, and
this is it.
And I think you're going to see it, because I think you're going to see some programs just shut down, have to go down divisions. This may be the start of the breakaway of the Power Five. We know that the athletes are going to have a bigger say going forward. We know that there's going to be a call for some form of real leadership here at the top. Name, image, and likeness is going to change the game. That's coming next year. When the dust settles on this, I think that college football is going to undergo a change of galactic proportions. And I don't necessarily think that is a bad thing. I do feel bad for players. I feel bad for coaches. I feel bad for fans. I feel bad for businesses that are all associated with this. But, you know, the reality is, you can want something all you want. It doesn't mean that you get to have it.
Or
that you should have it, right?
And, it just seems highly irresponsible to try and play.
Well, again, we're going to get you're going to get the Joel Klatts of the world that say, well, you're safer, and Jim Harbaugh can say that you're safer, and that's fine.
That's just mental gymnastics.
Exactly. You can make that argument till you're blue in the face. But the end of the day is, if the university presidents all get together and say, we're not doing this, then you're not doing it. And this idea, like, that's being floated out there of like the SEC just plowing ahead and having super conferences, and, you know, Nebraska bolting, you know, and granted, there may be some form of this when this all is said and done. Maybe you do have some people that go independent and you find a way to make things work. But this idea that it's so easy, you know, the Big Ten has a TV contract that pays Nebraska a lot of money, 40 plus million. There is a buyout if you leave the Big Ten. So this idea that just Nebraska can be like, well, our university says that we can play, so we're just going to leave and we're going to go play somewhere else for a year, and the rest of the Big Ten is just going to be like, okay, yeah, no problem, go do your own thing. Or that you're just going to magically put together something in the span of the next 3 weeks that now you're a member of the SEC and that you can just do your own thing. This doesn't work this way. There are so many other challenges that are involved. And this is kind of the problem throughout the college football thing. We've made this seem like you can just wait until like 48 hours before a game and then be like, oh, yeah, we'll just go play in a sandlot down here. We'll put it together and it'll be fine because we want to do it. Logistically, this stuff is all a nightmare and takes a long time to put together. TV deals and money and payouts and road games travel.
Testing.
Yeah, all safety. This stuff costs millions of dollars and takes weeks and months to put together.
Well, I just wonder how many, you know, like the players have all these demands, you know?
Yeah.
And I wonder how much them uniting has had to do with them kind of the leaders pausing now.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because two leagues, I know the Big Ten's was all about just health and safety from COVID. Pac-12's is about much more than that, but bottom line, when the players are all sending letters, and it's thousands of players, mm-hmm. it sounds like.
Yep.
Hundreds, if not thousands.
Makes you think twice.
When they're starting to send letters that they're aware of what you're trying to put them through, and, you know, they want this, that, and the other, that changes things. Yep. It changes things legally.
Yeah. And ultimately, you're right there. You have it. If you ask me, and we'll ask Wilner coming up next segment, or
4 o'clock. One more segment.
But if you had to pin me down and say, what's the number one thing that changed? It's right there. I think the university presidents got together with some lawyers. some high price lawyers that probably went to some really good schools. And, you know, the kid at Indiana now is dealing with that had it. And I think there's one in Illinois. And there's another one out there that's dealing with serious heart problems.
There's at least five in the Big Ten alone that are dealing with the myocardia or whatever it's
from
called.
Having COVID, which is like what Rodriguez, the Red Sox pitcher, has. Eduardo Rodriguez. And he's out for the season. My guess is that some university presidents sat around with some attorneys and said, hey, we've seen these breakouts on campuses when frat parties come back. We've seen breakouts already with athletes when we've kind of kept them, you know, as far away from most people, because universities for the most part right now don't have a bunch of kids on campus. And now we've got some people battling some serious heart conditions. And there's been some models that say you could have anywhere from 2 to 5 kids die over the course of the season. And someone got together and now no one's signing liability waivers. And someone sat around and said, oh my God, what happens if we get a couple kids that die? What happens if we get a coach that dies? What happens if we get a staffer that dies? What are we talking about liability-wise? What are we talking about PR-wise? And someone just said, yeah, no. If you ask me what has changed over the last 48 hours, it's that. The university presidents that are in charge of dealing with a $7 billion budget and the entire scope of things looked at that and said, no, this isn't worth it.
All right, John Wilner on this topic in 15 minutes. Up next, we can continue on this or the PGA Championship. Mike won money.
He did.
Thanks to one Isaac Roth.
Yeah, I didn't win money, but Mike won money.
Nice.
Can I explain that to you next?
Yes. I'm all about gambling. Let's do this.
All right. Well, we'll do that for a short segment. And
yeah, because
we'll
back to college football, so we'll take a break.
Wilner at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. 3:46 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, still to come on today's show, we've got to check in on the bubble in the NBA and see how it's looking for your Portland Trailblazers, and we will get to that. Top of the hour, 10 minutes from now, John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News, he will discuss the very latest. Is the Pac-12 going to punt on the college football season? We'll get that in 10.
We just saw that the Mountain West punted just a few minutes ago, and Dennis Dodd had a report that the main issue why and this is what we were talking about last segment, the reason ultimately why the Mountain West decided to punt was liability. They said that the university presidents couldn't get over the liability concerns, and that ultimately they decided that to punt on this, and they said that they felt more comfortable with testing and that, you know, just having a better grasp on this and exactly what the virus is long-term health-wise, maybe next year. So I just think that is, I go back to it. I think that is the number one thing facing these schools right now in conferences is just the liability factor of putting kids out there.
So I'd like to have a big giant PGA Championship segment.
Yes.
Because that was great.
Yes,
we had
a
golf major wrap up yesterday and there were seven bros tied for the lead coming down the stretch, which is amazing. But, you know, I'm guessing that will have to be tomorrow. Feeling this sucker out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get it in today. But the good news is we have more shows this week to do.
Yes, we do.
They put us on here every day.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, as far as we know, but, you know.
As of now, we're scheduled.
As of now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 of those.
But anyway, Mike texted me. So you missed my hot PGA Championship picks last week.
Mm-hmm.
You missed them. You were out. You were out at that fake.
Oh, yeah. It was Wednesday. You were at the fake graduation.
Boy, I'll tell you what. That was a scene, my man.
So my picks were, I had, and I don't like to pick the favorites. I like to go for long shot odds, like get paid from guys that I think are playing well enough to win.
The nice way to say it is you like the value.
I like the value. So my four were Xander Schauffele, who is the least value at plus 1800. Patrick Cantlay was plus 2500. Tony Finau, I took him at plus 4000. And then I took Matthew Wolf, the young kid, at plus 10,000. Well, lo and behold,
yikes!
We get down the wire yesterday, and Matthew Wolf is albeit tied, but he's the clubhouse leader.
Mm. So what did you have? Did you what?
I had $20 on it.
Yeah, $20.
Yeah, so that would have been what would that have been?
I'm waiting for more of this Kansas math.
Do you know off the top of your head what that would have been?
So you said what were the odds?
I think it's $2,000.
He was plus 10,000. Yeah, it would have been $2,000. I would have won.
Okay.
On him. And so my guys, you know, I got Finau. Schauffele was up there, but he kind of faded.
See, I was pulling Finau. I'm a Finau guy.
I love Finau. And I thought, you know, maybe this is the one. Finau, you know, kind of comes from behind and he grabs this. He was right there. And then so Finau, but then I really wanted Wolf because he was my biggest payout, right? So Mike texts me at the start of the day and he's like, hey, and he shows me the updated. So you can bet at the start of the tournament. You can bet live during the tournament. You can bet all the way up to the final minutes of the tournament. The odds just are live and they change.
Sure.
Well, Mike, before the end of the final round, texts me about 10 guys that are at the top of the odds board. So it's all those guys that are up there, as you know.
It was Fleetwood. Before the round started. It was early Sunday morning.
DJ Fleetwood, DJ, all the way down to, it was like top 10 or 12 guys. And he said, who would you take out of all these guys? And all of these guys are playing well because they're all in the top 10, right? DeChambeau was on there, all these guys.
Yeah.
And I said,
Koepka was there. I think it's 7.
Koepka was in there. But he was probably one of the, DJ was the favorite.
Yeah.
And then Koepka and this and that. So I'm looking again at value. And I say, Mike, I think that the two guys that I would take off of this list based on these odds are Morikawa at plus 1,000 and Finau at plus, I think he was at like.
He was plus 2,800.
Yeah, 2,800 still.
Yeah.
And I'm like, those guys are definitely good enough to win this tournament. And that's a good payday. So I would take one of those. Well, who does Mike bet on?
Morikawa.
Who won the tournament?
Morikawa.
So I'm going to give Rob credit for partial choice there.
Oh, I only get partial credit.
Well, yeah, so I looked at
it. The answer was correct, but your work was incomplete. Show your work.
I looked at the list, and I was like, I like these odds, right? I could put a couple of bucks on it and just, you know, if I lose $4 or $5, whatever. And if I win, great. I make $40, $50. And I was just looking, and I was like, a lot of people have been talking about this Morikawa guy. I don't know anything about him. I just know people have been talking about him. So that's when I sent the list to Rob, and he said Morikawa, and I was like, okay, that's one affirmation. And then I was remembering I was standing in this studio at the end of Dirt and Sprague 2 tournaments ago, and Swag was just raving about Morikawa's game. And I mean, I know nothing about golf, right? But I was just listening to what he was saying, and I was like, so Swag is raving about him. Rob says to pick him, and he's got plus 1,000. Yeah, why not?
Do it.
And it worked out.
I thought Swaggart getting some credit. Getting half of my credit.
So you get partial credit. Swag gets partial credit.
Yes. Well, look.
Mike should get partial credit. He's the one that laid the juice.
He pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
I didn't. I didn't. Well, I didn't look. I bet at the start of the tournament, and then I didn't. I just kind of, they're just long shot bets. I mean, but, and plus I had 2 guys that I thought were in decent positions. So I was like, oh, I'll just leave with that. Because then you start just chasing your money, right? Like you start adding money to, on all these different guys, before you know it, you win one and you just break even because you put money on so many different guys. So I felt good about it, but lo and behold, it was that damn Morikawa who is legit,
that,
as you can tell.
That tee shot on, what was it, 16, that rolled up for the eagle putt that essentially won him. Holy crime.
He's unbelievable.
That's insane.
He's going to win 87,000 majors.
Does seem like
this year.
It does seem a bit much.
I did feel bad, though, because my parents put a little money on Matt Wolf. They bet on literally nothing, never bet, but it's legal in New Jersey, so it's easy to do.
Right.
And they were like, what was the golfer that was the really big long shot? I was like, oh, Matthew Wolf. And they're like, oh, we'll put a little money on that.
Well, there were other long shots. He was the long shot
that you picked,
that I picked.
They were listening to the show and they wanted Rob's pick, and it almost panned out for them. I felt a little bad.
I just love that.
They were going to win a 10 G's on that deal.
Really?
Yeah. $100, bro.
Oh yeah.
They put a hundy on Matthew Wolf. How good did they feel when he birdied 18? He made that putt and it's like, oh my God, he could win this.
I'm not sure they were watching live. My mom was texting like, what's happening? Can you tell me what's happening with Matthew Wolf? And I wasn't even watching.
Turn
I just
on
looked at
a
the
TV. You have 10 grand on it.
You ever seen someone on a par 4 bounce one within 10 feet in that sort of pressure situation?
Amazing.
Find me a better shot.
No, you won't see a better shot all year. More PGA coming up, but we got to get back to college football. What is the latest with the Pac-12? What is he hearing? John Wilner of the Mercury News is next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.